Welcome to Healing Hearts Ministries, where Pastor Tapper gives you biblical solutions for today's problems. Healing Hearts is brought to you by the New Covenant Church of God, located at 10428 Astoria Boulevard in East Elmhurst, Queens, New York. You are welcome to join us every Sunday morning at 11 a.m. for Word and Worship, or go to our website at healingheartsnyc.org. Now, let us join Pastor Tapper as he shares with us the living Word of God.
Welcome to Healing Hearts Ministries. I am Pastor Isaac Tapper, pastor of the New Covenant Church of God at 10428 Astoria Boulevard in East Elmhurst, Queens, New York. Thank you for joining us today. If you will turn with me to the book of Job, chapter 1, we will read from chapter 1. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was blameless and upright, and one who feared God and shunned evil. In verse 6 we read, Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them. And the Lord said to Satan, From where did you come? So Satan answered the Lord and said, From going to and fro on the earth, and from walking back and forth on it. Then the Lord said to Satan, Have you considered my servant Job? There is none like him on the earth, a blameless and an upright man, one who fears God and shuns evil. So Satan answered the Lord and said, Does Job fear God for nothing? Have you not made a hedge around him, around his household, and around all that he has on every side? Have you blessed the works of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land? But now stretch out your hand and touch all that he has, and he will surely curse you to your face. And the Lord said to Satan, Behold, all that he has is in your power. Only do not lay a hand on his person. So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord. No one knows the exact date when the book of Job was written, but many believe it was written shortly after the book of Genesis. Genesis was the beginning of all books, and the book of Job was a book on suffering and how to overcome it. Satan had just scored a major victory with Adam and Eve. God had to show Satan that there were righteous men on the earth that would not be undone by his temptations, even when their lives are endangered. A story is told about a group of men who were looking for shelter in a lightning storm one day, and they all took shelter under a tree. And when lightning struck, it hit the tallest man first. And I thought about this story because the Bible calls Job the greatest man of all the people of the East in Job 1 and 3, because he had great wealth, perhaps the richest man in all of the East. This also tells us that Job was probably a Gentile and not a Hebrew, because he was from the land of Uz, a land northeast of present-day Israel. He had great possessions. The Bible said he had 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, a very large household. This is even rich by today's standard. On the outside, he was like any other man. The Bible said in verse 1, there was a man. But on the inside, he was very different from other men, because the Bible said he feared God and he shunned evil. He was a man of integrity, of honor, and truthfulness. And above all, he put his trust in God. But one day, when the angels in heaven came to present themselves before God, they came to report and give an account of their work. Somehow, Satan was in the mix. From this passage, we still know Satan had access to heaven, even after Eden. After receiving reports from the other angels, perhaps Michael and Gabriel, the Almighty God turns to Lucifer or Satan and says to him, What have you been doing today? And before going any further, someone may say the book of Job was only a parable, and that Job was not a real person, just representative of mankind in general. But God wanted you to know that a man called Job actually lived and died. So God made mention of Job twice in the book of Ezekiel, grouping him with Noah and Daniel. And you can read that for yourself in Ezekiel 14, verses 14 and 20. God said to Satan, "Where have you been?" This is important because it tells us that God even requires Satan to report to him. Job 1 and 7 says, "And the Lord said to Satan, 'From where did you come?' So Satan answered the Lord and said, 'From going to and fro on the earth and walking back and forth on it.'" The truth is, the devil is doing well on planet Earth. The Bible calls him in 2 Corinthians 4:4, the God of this world. And in Ephesians 2 and 2, the Bible says he's the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. And then Peter tells us in 1 Peter 5:8, the devil walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. We know he is on earth because he tempted Jesus. God was saying to Satan, "You think you are all of that, and you think you can destroy any man like you destroyed Adam and Eve. But I have a man who will not sell out to you for anything. Go ahead and try him." Then the Lord said to Satan in Job 1 and 8, "Have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, one who fears God and shuns evil? He is my servant. He is my strong believer, and there is none like him on the face of the earth. He is honest and he's upright. He fears God. He is my prototype, the pattern that other men will follow. He knows me and I know him." Satan said to God, "Sure, Job is honest and upright, and he fears you. Anyone would serve you and fear you with all the goodies that you hand out. Besides that, you built a hedge or a fence or a wall of protection around him." Job 1:9 tells us, "So Satan answered the Lord and said, 'Does Job fear God for nothing? Have you not built a hedge around him, around his household, and around all that he has on every side? You have blessed the work of his hand. His possessions have increased in the land.'" I want you to take a special note of what these words are telling us. They're telling us that God has a wall around you, and Satan can't get to you unless God allows him entry. Apparently, he had been trying to get to Job before, because he knew all about God's wall, all about God's hedge, and the wall that God built to protect and to guard Job against Satan. A farmer builds a hedge all around his crop for the very same reason God raised a hedge around you, to protect you. Hedges are not just wire or blocks or trees. A hedge could be anything, such as good Bible-based teaching or instruction. A hedge could be the wholesome influence of a good friend. A hedge could be good discipline in your life. We must remember that a hedge not only keeps things out, but keeps us from wandering or going astray away from God. Psalms 34 and 6 tells us, "The angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear him and delivers them from evil." Remember, all of this is going on without Job's knowledge. Decisions are made in heaven even before they are carried out here on earth. Battles are fought and won over you in heaven before the pronouncement even reaches the earth. That's why you must trust God completely. Men and women can only give you earthly wisdom and earthly conclusions. But the Bible said to trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Isaiah 26 tells us, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he or you trusteth in him." And then Jeremiah tells us in Jeremiah 17, Blessed is the person who trusts the Lord. The Lord will be his confidence. He will be like a tree that is planted by the water. It will send its roots down to the stream. It will not be afraid in the heat of summer. Its leaves will turn green. It will not be anxious during droughts. It will not stop producing fruit. Satan was so sure of himself that he said to God in verse 11, Job 1:11, "But now stretch out your hand and touch all that he has, and he will surely curse you to your face." Satan was indicting God and Job with that statement. He was saying to God that only those people you bless will serve you, that God's people will only be good Christians if things are prospering and flourishing and increasing. But if your personal finances or your business or your family run aground or hit hard times, Satan was saying that no matter how good a Christian you may be, you will desert or forsake God. Satan is accusing God's people of being fair weather saints. Satan truly does not believe that any man would remain faithful and true to God if stripped of all of the material and earthly enjoyments. In Job 1 and 12, God said to Satan, "Go ahead, take all that he has, take your best shot. Only do not lay a hand on his body. That belongs to me." And the testing started. Job 1:13 says, "There was a day when his sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in their oldest brother's house, and a messenger came to Job and said, 'The oxen were plowing and the donkeys feeding beside them. And when the Sabaeans raided them and took them away, indeed they have killed the servants with the edge of the sword, and I alone have escaped to tell you.'" While he was still speaking, another person came and said, "The fire of God or lightning fell from heaven and burnt up the sheep and the servants and consumed them, and I alone have escaped to tell you." And while he was still speaking, another person came and said, "The Chaldeans formed three bands and raided the camels and took them away. And yes, they killed all of the servants." And while he was still speaking, another person came and said, "Your sons and your daughters were eating and drinking wine in their oldest brother's house. And suddenly, a great wind came from across the wilderness and struck the four corners of the house, and it fell on the young people, and they are all dead, and I alone have escaped to tell you." Talking about having a bad day, I don't think you have experienced a day like this in your entire life. Notice the way the troubles fell upon them, from the least to the greatest. First, the oxen and the donkeys were lost, and then the sheep and the servants were lost, and then the sons and the daughters. First property, then the servants, and then his family. And notice in verse 16, the Bible says, "And fire fell from heaven," which was a type of lightning that came down from heaven. What Satan was trying to do is to make Job believe that God was judging and punishing him for something. The devil always wants you to think that God is unhappy with you. If the devil can get you to believe that God is against you, the devil wins. Then he sent the eyes. And by the eyes, I mean he sent one person after another to bring the bad news. "I am the only one left to bring you this news." Job had to realize that he was not fighting against people. He was not fighting against the Sabaeans or the Chaldeans. But as Ephesians said, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Satan truly expected Job to fall to the ground and to curse God. But the Bible says in verse 20, "Then Job arose, tore his robe, shaved his head, and fell to the ground and worshiped. And he said, 'Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord.' In all of this, Job did not sin nor charge God with wrong." Job still did not know why he was going through the things he was going through. And for most people, trouble means that God's existence is questionable or that God is somehow out to get you for something. You start saying things like, if there's a God, why am I going through this? Why would a loving God put me through all of this? But what Job did in the midst of all of his troubles is that he worshiped, he worshiped, he worshiped, and blessed the name of the Lord. The devil just knew in his heart and mind that at this point, Job would be cursing God. But Job blessed the Lord. But the devil was not finished yet. He came to God again, knowing that he could not be so wrong about God's people, and he just knew that God's people would curse God if God took away all of their possessions. And the devil said to God, so Satan answered the Lord and said, skin for skin. Yes, all that a man has, he will give for his life. But stretch out your hand now and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will surely curse you to your face. And the Lord said to Satan, behold, he is in your hand, but spare his life. His life belonged to God. Job had experienced loss of property. He had experienced loss of family. And now he is experiencing loss of health. But God said, don't take his life. Surely he would trade his property and family for his own well-being, for his own life. He said, skin for skin, which is a trading term. You give me one skin and I'll give you a skin back. Satan accused God again of just giving Job dollars for worship. He says, I know that he will curse you now. So the Bible tells us in Job 2:7, so Satan went out from the presence of the Lord and struck Job with painful boils from the sole of his foot to the crown of his head. And he took for himself pieces of pottery with which to scrape himself while he sat in the midst of ashes. And then his wife said to him, do you still hold fast to your integrity? Why don't you curse God and die? And he said to her, you speak as one of the foolish women speaks. Shall we indeed accept good from God? And shall we not accept adversity? In all of this, the Bible said, Job did not sin with his lips. You may notice now his wife is cursing him. His wife is telling him that he should turn against God. The Bible said, now his wife turns against him and God. The greatest man in the East is now the most abhorrent, repulsive man in the entire East. He has now lost his property, his family, his health, his wife, his social standing, sympathy, and support from the community. And his wife asked him, are you still holding on to your principles of faith? Are you still holding on to God? Why don't you curse God and die? And finally, his friends turn on him, and they said to him, this happens to no one unless they are being punished by God. You must have some hidden sin. Come on, confess it. Tell us what you've done wrong. Do you see how Job's troubles entered, dear people of God? They entered first through his possessions. They entered second through his body. And finally, they entered through his mind. When Satan fails to trip us up or to overthrow us by any other means, he starts to work on our hearts and our minds. And you see in Job 3:25, Job says, for the thing which I greatly feared is come upon me, and that which I was afraid of is come upon me. God allowed Satan to touch everything Job owned. But instead of Job cursing God, he worshiped God. And if you ever want to make the devil mad at you, start praising God right in the middle of your troubles. The devil hates a worshiper. We learn from Job that worship is a weapon that will defeat the enemy every time. When Jonah was in the belly of the great fish, he was very close to death, going down into the crushing pressure of the deep ocean one last time. He cried out to the Lord with songs of thanksgiving. And from inside the whale's belly, He declared victory belongs to the Lord. And the Bible said, the Lord spoke to the fish, and it deposited Jonah on the shore. And worshiping the Lord saved Jonah's life. And remember when King Hezekiah became sick, and the Bible said he was about to die? The prophet Isaiah told him to get his house in order, because he would not recover from this sickness. But the Bible said he turned his face to the wall and worshiped and prayed to God with all of his might. And before the prophet could get through the courtyard to leave, the Lord spoke to the prophet and told him to go back and tell the king, I have heard your prayers and have seen your tears. Now I'm going to heal you, and I'm adding 15 years to your life. Job released his emotions not through ranting and raving, cursing or swearing and complaining, not even through weeping and wailing, but through worship. When Paul and Silas were in a wet, dark dungeon, they began to sing praises to the Lord. They began to worship the God they loved and served. The same can be true of us. When you feel as though your life has turned dark, damp, and that you are in a dungeon, when you feel as though everything you were hoping for, everything you trusted in, has been taken away, it's your opportunity to do what Job did, to do what Paul and Silas did. And that is, you can say to yourself, I am going to worship you, Lord, because you are in control. You know what is best. In Psalm 61 and 2, King David wrote, from the end of the earth, I will cry to you. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Daniel was threatened with death in a den of hungry lions if he prayed to anyone other than the king. Daniel, however, was not deterred at all. He worshiped the Lord that day just like any other day. He worshiped in a time of extreme distress. You must praise and worship God even when your entire world seems to be caving in. You can be a man or woman who has deep devotion, love, and a strong relationship with the Lord. Job teaches us with his life that genuine worship is not sidetracked by traumatic circumstances. Job didn't have chapters 1 and 2 of his book to read. He didn't know what was going on in heaven. He could not hear the conversation between God and Satan. But he shows us that material wealth should not be connected to our worship and praise of God. Devotion to God is possible without dollars received in return. People can be godly apart from material gain. Job passed the test and proved that we can love God for who he is and not for what he gives us. We can seek his face and not his hands. Job's worshiping at the moment of extreme loss and intense grief confirmed God's words about Job's godly character. Job's desperate struggle was allowed to take place in the open arena of life so that we might learn the secret of standing strong in the face of extreme difficulties and putting your trust in God and God alone. I am Pastor Tapper, pastor of the New Covenant Church of God at 10428 Astoria Boulevard in East Elmhurst, Queens, New York. The zip code is 11369. Healing Hearts is a listener-supported program and is made possible by your financial gifts and free will offerings. If this program has encouraged you or blessed your life, then become a Kingdom Partner by donating to this ministry every month. Call or donate online today. I want you to know that I listen to every message, read and pray over every email and letter that comes into my office and website. I also would like to invite you to come and worship with us on Sundays at 11 a.m. at the New Covenant Church of God. Or you can learn more about Healing Hearts Ministries at healingheartsnyc.org, or you can call us at 917-935-5374. Until next time, this is Pastor Tapper saying, a man or a woman who never gives up cannot be defeated.